fantasy sports have been around a long time, and they've been growing as a business from family and office leagues to competitive online contests.
But in the last couple of years, a new business model exploded onto the scene, the daily fantasy sports websites. Led by names like FanDuel and DraftKings, ads for these services are all over the place when you're watching any kind of sports on TV.
FanDuel's one-week fantasy football leagues are paying $75 million a week with immediate cash payouts and no commitment.
I've deposited a total of $35 on FanDuel and won over $2 million.
Pete Jennings won over $2 million playing fantasy sports at DraftKings.com. He's off living the high life right now, but we've got the next best thing. Puppets.
Hi, I'm Pete Jennings. I won over $2 million thanks to DraftKings.com. And now, I've got all this money.
The sites are doing big business and getting a big backlash. There have been bans in some states, with regulators saying the sites constitute illegal gambling. The companies have responded with lawsuits and with lobbying efforts. One Wisconsin lawmaker has introduced legislation that would clarify that fantasy sports are legal here in the state. There is a committee hearing on Wednesday.
This even came up as an issue in a Republican presidential debate. Jay Caspian Kang joins us now. He's a contributor to the New York Times Magazine. He wrote a recent piece there on these daily fantasy sports leagues. Jay, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Well, you have played these sites, you write. For people who haven't tried them, how would they work? If they went and signed up, put down some money, what would they do?
Well, it's just like, in some ways, it's like your traditional fantasy sports model where you pick players, and then you watch those players perform, and those players accumulate statistics, and those statistics are determine whether you win or not. Usually, fantasy sports is sort of played out over the course of an entire season, and you play with your friends. What Daily Fantasy did was that they shrunk the entire season down into one day, and that you pick a team every single day, and that you go up against, instead of going up against your friends, you're going up against tens of thousands of other people who have all paid in a certain amount, and so the prize pools get very big, and there's a lot more money at stake that can recycle every single day.
Yeah, this from the player's perspective, you get instant gratification or instant failure, but from the sites, the places that run these, there's a lot more opportunities for people to spend money there.
Yeah, well, you know, at the beginning of the year, I think most people who play fantasy sports are, you know, familiar with a model where you pay like $20 to your friend, and some people don't pay on time, and by the end of the year, some people have to like go collect from other people or delinquent pays. But you know, it doesn't matter; it's not that much money. You know, with daily fantasy sports, you can enter like you can basically play like 15 seasons, 20 seasons, as many as like 100 seasons in a day, and you know, pay $20 each time, and then the money ends up piling a lot more. The sites take a cut of each dollar that's paid on their site, generally around 10%. And so the more volume that's generated, the more money they make. So, you know, it's in their interest to generate as many of these games as possible.
And you write that around the time poker website, online poker, was shut down by federal law, that's when these things started picking up. And there was actually migration of players and concepts from online poker.
Yeah, a lot of the employees that work on these DraftKings and FanDuel, which are the two biggest sites providing daily fantasy, come from the online poker world. If you're familiar with online poker at all, if you played, and you know, when I was in my 20s, I played quite a bit, like a lot of you know young men, I think, who like came of age around that time. The feel is remarkably similar, and I think that's intentional. There is a sense that what worked so well with online poker was that you always felt like you could find a game. There was no sort of waiting around. There's a lot of different ways that you could play. All that has been sort of implemented into daily fantasy sports. The terms are the same. The language is the same. And a lot of times the big players are the same. They're just guys who stopped playing online poker and moved over into this world.
Talking to Jay Caspian Kang about daily fantasy sports sites, big money operations getting big attention from a lot of states. And Jay, one big question here for regulators is this gambling? Is this a game of skill, therefore, by a lot of definitions, not gambling? Or is it a game of chance, therefore, gambling? This still exists at a federal level, so the federal lawmaker said, no, not gambling. Is that right?
Well, there's a, I mean, not to get, without going too deep into it, there is a specific language in a federal law that says, that sort of carves out some space for fantasy sports. Now, when that law was written, obviously the lawmakers did not know that this was coming. But, you know, to this point, federally it is still protected by this law. Now, state to state, that changes. Like, it sounds like, I guess, this week in Wisconsin you guys have some sort of hearing on this. I think that every state is going to be going through that same process. A lot of them have already gone through it. And what the legality of this game is really going to be come down to, like, a state-to-state thing. I think eventually it'll be legal in some states, and some states will heavily regulate it, and then some states won't have it at all.
Now, the market for these games is potentially huge. There's a lot of sports fans out there. I've done other kinds of fantasy football. The concept of the game seems really cool to me, but you say somebody like me, a casual fan who goes on, I'm almost guaranteed to lose money. Why is the deck stacked against me and other casual fans?
Well, just like any sort of market that pops up, there are sharks in the market. And in this case, and you know, a lot of games have sort of built-in limits or built-in safeguards against this sort of shark play. So if you play poker, for example, and you're playing for 50 cents, the best players in the world aren't going to really find it worth their time to play you for 50 cents. The way that Daily Fantasy is set up, however, since you can really just play thousands of games at once and you don't have to sit there and fold, or you don't have to sit there and raise or play cards, you can almost play everybody that you would want. And so what a lot of the players have done is, best players have done is they set up thousands of games or hundreds of games, and they sort of sit around and wait for new players to come in and find them. And so, you know, most likely if you deposited money and went on one of these sites, a lot of the games that you played would be against the best players in the world. At that point, it's really difficult to win because, you know, like there is a skill element to it in which, like, you know, people can be qualitatively better than other people. And at that point, if you're not, you're just going to always lose to playing against the best people over and over again.
And the big players have been using what people call scripts, in effect, a kind of online software to manage their teams, to make a whole zillion bunch of teams, things that I probably wouldn't do. I know at least one of the big companies has said, no, you can't do that anymore, but there's some question of whether they can actually stop that.
Yeah, that was this past week. You know, I think it was, there's a lot of pressure for them to get rid of these, not just from the Times or from the article, but really from the Massachusetts state legislature, which was had sort of a regulatory suggestion. So, yeah, now on DraftKings, you cannot use scripts anymore. But from my conversations with people who use scripts, from my conversations with people who worked at these companies, and from my conversation or just my general observations and conversations with programmers who would be familiar with this sort of stuff, it seems that they can't stop this sort of use anyway. And so, you know, it doesn't really matter if they say you can use it or you can't use it, because it's very difficult for them to detect whether or not a player is using one of these scripts or not.
We're talking about online fantasy sports contests, gambling sites, some states are starting to call them, with Jay Caspian Kang. He's a contributor to the New York Times Magazine.
You can join the conversation. Do you have a question about how these sites work and what they are? Have you played, and what did you think? Should these daily fantasy sports sites be legal, illegal, or maybe regulated differently? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We continue our conversation with Jay Caspian Kang. In his recent New York Times Magazine piece, he looks at the rise of daily fantasy sports websites, things like FanDuel and DraftKings, with lots of ads, lots of business, and lots of efforts from state governments to rein them in.
You can join in. Have you played? Did you win or lose? Should these sites be banned? And is this a game of skill or chance? Is it gambling? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Go right to our callers. We've got Matthew on the line in Superior. Matthew, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you want to bring up, Matthew?
Well, I think it's important to mention that one of the reasons why so many of the state governments are starting to bring the hammer down on FanDuel and DraftKings and companies of the like is that one of the employees was caught using inside information in terms of who was building teams, what players were being used the most, what players weren't, and then proceeding to gamble on the opposing company's website. I forget whether if it was a FanDuel employee gambling on DraftKings or the other way around, but certainly that takes the element of skill away when you're dealing with somebody who is essentially insider trading.
Matthew, thanks a lot for bringing that up. And that's a good point, Jay. There was a not exactly insider trading, I guess, but an accusation. This got a lot of attention, this incident he's talking about.
Yeah, I think it's called the Ethan Haskell incident. And the employee, Ethan was an employee for DraftKings, who the weekend that this news sort of leaked, he won $350,000 in a contest on FanDuel. He was cleared of wrongdoing by an independent arbiter who said that he didn't use that information. But it did highlight how unregulated this industry was in that. And there are a lot of other things that are like that that have been reported on smaller sites, or there's just been sort of common knowledge within people who are in the DFS industry that employees, as early as about a year ago, employees on sites would routinely play on other sites, and that they would use advantages that they were gaining from being employees at that site to gain an edge over the people that they were playing against on those sites. So yeah, that was the beginning, really, of this sort of period of scandal for the daily fantasy industry, was when news of that broke.
Matthew, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. And Jay, you mentioned the word unregulated. Now, if this was a gambling operation, I don't know, in Vegas or somewhere, there are regulations, there are rules about what insiders can and can't do. We don't have much of anything like that for this daily fantasy sports industry, do we?
No, there's a governing board that is supposed to overlook the fantasy sports community as a whole, but you know, it's made up of people who work at these companies in large part, and so there's not even really the internal regulation. And because they believe that it was protected by this federal law, the UIGEA, you know, they were able to grow without any regulation because they weren't a gaming or a gambling site, and you know, for the most part, they still aren't. And certainly that climate could change very quickly, and it seems that it is. But right now, there still is not that much regulation on that, except for stuff that they impose themselves upon themselves.
Talking to Jay Caspian Kang, contributor to the New York Times Magazine, about a recent piece he wrote on these daily fantasy sports websites. You might have seen ads. You have seen ads if you watch any kind of sports. If you watch ESPN, DraftKings, FanDuel, that kind of thing. Still time for your calls with your questions, your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Well, Jay, you write, based on the business model here, there's actually an incentive for these companies to work with, to reward the high rollers who you say make it a tough game for newcomers, because a lot of their income comes from them participating, playing games. How does that all work?
Well, if you are a customer or a player of one of these sites, then you see that the rival site has a prize pool that's bigger. Let's say like first place is $400,000 on one site and it's $750,000 on the other site. Like, you are always going to go to the bigger number. The way that the sites get those numbers up is by allowing people to enter multiple times. And so, in fact, there will be a certain percentage of every prize pool that is taken up by a high roller. If you get rid of the high roller, a hugely disproportionate amount of that prize pool goes down, which means that you lose out to your competitor. And so you really need to cater to that guy, like the guy who's willing to spend $200,000, $400,000 a night on daily fantasy, because if not, and he goes to another site, then that site grows by that percentage as well. And so, you know, a small amount of gamblers who are controlling the markets like that, it really is necessary for the sites to bend over backwards to make them happy. And for the most part, at least from what our research found, DraftKings and FanDuel have both done that, you know, since their inception, really. And, yeah, I mean, maybe some of that has started to abate in the past few weeks, but or a few months, I would say, but I still think the climate is probably still there.
Now, you've played on these sites a couple different ways, just sort of the lamb to the slaughter method, I guess, where you go on, play against an opponent. There's a good chance they're one of the tough competitors. But you've also tried it in a way that looks a little more benign. You connect with friends around the country, set up basically a league between you two. You think there's a positive way maybe to use these sites, but maybe it's not going to be as big money as the other way.
Yeah. I think daily fantasy sports, just as like a guy who has played fantasy sports since like 1996, like I think it's a great game. I think that it takes out a lot of the frustrations people have with fantasy football in particular. And it makes it into sort of an exciting, revolving thing that, you know, you can talk to your friend and you say, oh, well, you know, I don't know, sort of trash that people generally talk to one another about fantasy sports. You just do it day in, day again. It's a good social outlet, especially if you're just sitting at work, staring at a computer. You know, it's something to talk about. I think that all those things are pluses. I just think that the way that they created the betting economy made it impossible for casual players to really enjoy that. And so there is still a core game that is salvageable and that I think some very enterprising people are going to figure out how to do. You know, the game itself is sound and fun. I don't know. It's certainly more fun, I think, than sort of painful, long haul of fantasy football.
We'll leave it there. Jay, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
That was Jay Caspian Kang. He's a contributor to the New York Times Magazine. By the way, his piece on fantasy sports websites is linked over at the Central Time Facebook page.